We hope the world is better for you because it sure is fucked up in our time. Ron and Brian, December 1976.
Hello and welcome everybody to episode 71 of the Ron and Brian podcast. I am Ron, as always joined by the man currently being vetted to be our next national security advisor, Brian. Brian, how the hell are you today, sir?
I am withdrawing my nomination for the head of national security. Yeah, it's an honor to be considered. It was definitely something that I thought long and hard with. I prayed on it overnight.
Okay. Always good.
God spoke to me this morning while I was drinking my coffee at Wawa. And God said to me that there is a calling for me, but it is not this.
Okay. And, I respect that. I respect your level-headedness, because I was a little worried as to what you might actually do.
Well, I think I've made it very clear in the book that I just released and published by Random House, which was Nuke Them All, We Are Going to Win.
Yes. So, I'm happy that you have come up with a little bit more level-headedness this time around.
Oh, I just feel like we have these weapons for a reason. Let's use them. It's good for the economy.
All right. Well, let's get rolling here.
Boom.
In this episode 71.
Drink of the week.
На здоровье.
Salud.
Drink of the week.
Sláinte.
Prost.
Drink of the week.
Drink of the week. Back again. Brian, what's our theme this week?
Well, there was only one drink that really was up for debate. The attention of the world for a few short minutes were taken away from the White House and driven towards the Southern White House, as I like to call it, Mar-a-Lago. as we were all, a week ago we were talking about it. We're still talking about it today. Hurricane Dorian, the damage that it did, the threat that it still is to the calm people of Alabama. There was only one drink to have, and that is the hurricane.
Yes. So we both mixed up hurricane. Fresh ingredients on my side, Brian. I'm assuming you did the same on your end. Why does your hurricane look like Kool-Aid?
It tastes like it, too. I used a prepared mix from Amazon. I thought that we had agreed that what we were going to do, instead of using the same tried and true approach, which was that we use the exact same type of recipe, we wanted to see how does the different approach go, who enjoys theirs more.
All right.
Ron, walk me through your process.
Well, I did what you do. I went to liquor.com, the authority for all things liquor.
Liquor? I barely know her. I'm sorry.
I'll show you my hurricane right here, garnished with half an orange wheel. But this is two shots of light rum, two shots of dark rum, an ounce of freshly squeezed orange juice, an ounce of freshly squeezed lime juice. What else is in there? A half ounce of passion fruit puree, half ounce of simple syrup, and a bar spoon of grenadine, shaken and served over ice. So let me get into this here and let me see.
What makes me wonder is the dedication that you're bringing to the table here.
Mm.
Good?
That's a good drink. At first I thought, because I mean there's four shots of rum in there.
Yeah.
So at first I'm like, this is going to be a little too heavy on the alcohol, but the citrus and the passion fruit and everything else really balance it out, give it a nice flavor.
Well, it is what makes this the official drink of New Orleans, as I like to call it, my second hometown. Have you been to New Orleans?
I have been. It's been a long time, but I have been to New Orleans.
When was the last time you went?
Geez, it probably was 2000, 2001. So it's been a long time.
That was pre Hurricane Sandy or post Hurricane Sandy?
It was pre Katrina, pre all the, stuff that hit down there.
I'm not worried about Katrina. What about Hurricane Sandy? I mean,
I believe it was before that also.
Oh, okay. Yes, I used to go often, and it has three things that I really look for in a vacation spot, and that is, am I able to eat well? Am I able to drink well?
No doubt.
Can I gamble?
You can.
It's got the Harrah's right there at the bottom of Canal. You've got an incredible selection of food. I mean, to me, I eat better when I'm in New Orleans than when I have in New York City. And that might...
I mean, go to Café Du Monde, a little beignet, a little café au lait, shrimp and grits, red beans and rice. I'm telling you, man.
I'm a sucker for the étouffée. You slap on étouffée on something, I'm fucking ordering it. I ate a lot of crawfish. The problem that I had the last time I went there, which was, I'm going to say, realistically, probably about 5 years ago, was I found the homeless were really an issue in the town. It literally was in the French Quarter, as I like to call it, the Quarter. Literally, every time you turned the block, there were some Huskers playing some acoustic guitars. Everybody was looking for a handout. And I sat there, coming from New York, you know, you're in Philly, we understand homeless problem. It's, listen, if I wanted to see homeless people, I could have stayed home.
Right. One thing I do like about the French Quarter is how happy hour starts at noon.
I didn't think happy hour ever ended. What I like about the French Quarter is, first off, I love the people watching. I mean, I could spend an hour without ever getting bored standing on Bourbon Street just watching the people walk by.
No question. It is an interesting
What do you think about doing a live podcast from Bourbon Street?
I'm all for it. Let's talk to the folks at the New Orleans Tourism Board. I'm sure they would like what Ron and Brian bring to the table from an economic boost. Let's make some phone calls. Good. Get on
let's
that.
Let's make it happen. I, on the other hand, what I did was I went on Amazon.com, bought a mix that's pre-prepared, looked like Kool-Aid, smells like Kool-Aid, literally is blood red. You know, yours...
it's disturbingly colored.
It's very red.
I'm not going
to
lie.
But very similar to the kind of hurricane you get in Pat O'Brien's.
Yes.
You know, it's got that very deep red. Yours is probably better, but I think that, you know, if everybody took your path, the world would get boring. Think of it this way. You wouldn't be special anymore.
All I know is I bought a quart of passion fruit puree just to have the half ounce in need of the recipe.
Will you be using
that? That is the commitment that I make.
Will you be using your passion fruit puree for anything else?
I mean, I'll find something to use it in. There has to be something that it would go with. Besides drinking.
If I can make a recommendation, I hear that your wife is a big fan of composting.
She has never composted, but she's a fan.
It'll happen. I'm going to try and talk her into it next time I see her. Because what you don't have is a big bin of garbage in your backyard that's just slowly, from its own internal heat, breaking down into its natural elements. But you do have
a
lot of dog poop. You create a lot of poop in your house.
We can certainly recycle better, I guess.
Absolutely. All right. What else we got?
We got racism this week, Brian.
This week in
racism.
Well, as you know, we did not have racism last week. We are starting to think maybe racism was over again. Jean Cramer really, itching to get her teeth into some competition to try and get her second win. So we found a couple of stories this week. The first one out in Illinois, Andrew Smith was arrested after a friend reported to the police that he had found a piece of rope, fashioned it into a noose, and then hung it in an elevator at a residence hall on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. Smith has been charged with a felony hate crime charge and a misdemeanor disorderly conduct charge, and his next court date is set for October 22nd. We thought he was bad, but then a gentleman from Sioux Falls, South Dakota, came along and definitely said, I need to be this week's candidate for This Week in Racism. He was caught on video going on a racist rant against three young black men and warning them that he was armed with a gun. Let's take a listen to the audio.
Get that shit off video. Legal firearm on me, so you niggers gonna follow me, just so you know. three.
Damn, that's how you feeling?
You got what?
What'd you say?
That's far.
What'd you say, nigga?
Damn.
He said he got a fire on.
See, look, he said he got fire on. He said, you know, he called his niggas.
He said, fucking destroyed by niggas.
Damn.
Put that shit over you.
What do you think, Dylan? What do you think? They got clown. Cooler.
Hold on. Hold on.
Yeah, you won't because your communities are destroyed. Africa, no one wants to be there. That's why you're here.
All right. So after the video went viral on Facebook, Sioux Falls police, they've opened an investigation. They say they know the man's name. They're looking into it, looking to see if there was a threat, if this does rise to the height of a hate crime. Apparently, interestingly enough, Brian, there is a law in South Dakota where, since it is a concealed carry state, you are allowed to let somebody know I'm packing, but you can't do it in a threatening manner. So that is what they really need to decide.
What I like most about that video is the lack of fear by the gentleman recording it and his friends. Like, at no point point is there any sense from these guys that that this person screaming at them and dropping the N-word is in any way a genuine threat to their lives.
Yeah, they basically call him a clown. So, but this clown, the Sioux Falls racist, he is our candidate for This Week in Racism. He's going up against Gene Kramer, who is going for win number 2. So head on over to the Facebook page or to Twitter, vote and let us know who you think the worst of the worst is going to be. Brian, I'm throwing over to you for your pick of the week for This Week in Racism.
To me, this feels like a Baltimore Ravens versus the Miami Dolphins. We'll circle back to that a little bit later. This feels to me like Russia rolling into Chechnya back in 1984. The monolith going after the small guy, Napoleon versus Goliath. This is Jean Kramer's week. she continues to roll. I say, if you had to put your money down, we'll be talking about Jean Kramer a week from now.
All right, listeners, it's up to you now. Go to the Facebook page and or the Twitter page and cast your vote for This Week in Racism.
Ron and Brian's Beef of the Week.
Brian, what's bothering you this week, my friend?
This may sound repetitive. This may sound like something that we've heard before on this podcast. This may sound like something we've heard before in this bit on this podcast.
Okay.
My beef of the week, children returning to school.
Ooh, that was my beef because of the school buses. But Brian, you don't drive to work. So why is this your beef exactly?
I take the New York City subway every day in two different directions, and I will tell you, this week for the first time I noticed it, the subways are jam-packed with loud kids. These kids getting on a subway 7 o'clock in the morning as if they've been awake for hours. The level of energy that they are bringing to a morning commute is almost nothing that I can bring to the table. I just don't have it in me.
No, you don't have that youthful joie de vivre that you used to have?
Not in the mornings, no. I need multiple cups of coffee. The point here is the fact that, I'm sitting there, I've got my headphones on, I'm trying to read a book, speaking of which, I'd like to make a recommendation. But the kids are just so loud, they are so rambunctious, they're making noise. One of the kids keeps screaming out the N-word and that he's packing. I mean, it literally made me feel uncomfortable the other morning. It's just the fact that the subways are now crowded. The kids treat it like it's they don't have that solemn approach like everybody else that's on their way to work. I say, send the kids back home. Ron,
right,
what do you
fair
got?
Fair enough. My beef is work training classes. which I am in a week-long training class. We have a new database installation going on right now, and
wait a second. Yes. This isn't the sensitivity training that you had to take after that incident with the female trainee.
Something completely different.
Okay.
This is completely computer-based training. So I get that certain, you know, some people are more adept at computers than others. You know, I'm not great at a lot of things, but at least I can operate a computer fairly well. And it just drives me crazy when the pace of the class is dragged down to a slow crawl because people can't even log onto their system. And it drives me literally insane.
So they're stopping the class, slowing it down to a crawl, because they don't know how to use it.
And not only that, it's a system that we've been using. It's just an upgrade and a change to the software. So a good portion of it hasn't changed. So it should just be, you know, status quo. But people like to drive me crazy. So, I mean, a minor beef, but still a beef this week.
Who are the people that are in the class?
It's my sales team is in the class.
Okay. So this is actually giving you a good idea of the computer skills of your staff.
I mean, it's definitely a good evaluation as to, you know, everybody's skill set. No question about it.
Do you find yourself having to play the role of leader in the room?
The trainer does a good job of keeping things on track. So okay. I try and step back and let her, you know, run her class because that's what she's there. That's what we're paying her to do.
Okay. Very good. Now, at any point, are you able to take your phone out and surf the internet?
I mean, I will just, when it gets absolutely ridiculous, I will to maybe be passive aggressive a bit, will literally just take out my phone and start doing work on my phone because the class's ground is such a halt that I might as well be productive in some way, shape, or form.
I'd love to watch that.
Maybe I'll turn my my video on and send it to you.
I would love that.
See what we can do.
We could Skype together from work.
Wouldn't that be cute? It'd
be
my
awesome.
My wife is jealous enough of you as it is. If she finds out I'm Skyping with you at work, it'll be over.
She has nothing to be jealous of. In fact, I'm jealous of her.
All right. So those are our beefs. Let's get into the meat of what we have on our agenda this week. We are drinking hurricanes. Well, I'm drinking a hurricane. You're drinking a hurricane-esque type drink over there.
I'm drinking Kool-Aid with rum.
And let's talk Hurricane Dorian, which made its way up from the Bahamas and hit the eastern seaboard of the United States this week. Thankfully for the U.S., it had died down in intensity. But Bahamas, especially the North Bahamas, still reeling from the beating that it took with that Category 5 hurricane. Death count now up to 50, which is expected to rise. People on the ground are saying that there are still just dead bodies lying around that just have not been tended to, have not been accounted for. So, you know, some people expect that number to double at a bare minimum.
You're a gambling man, aren't you?
At times, yes.
What do you put the over under at?
I mean, I would put the over under, you know, at 125.
That's so odd. I was going to say something very similar. I was going to go 130, because if it's 50 this soon, you got to think that A, they haven't counted all the bodies, and B, it's only a matter of time before the and don't get me wrong, is, you know, we like to be a humorous podcast at times, but this is where I'm about to get serious. But the situation is quite dire, you know, in some of the islands. I mean, you were literally talking about a level 5 hurricane, which is something I had never actually heard of before this Dorian came around. I had never heard that, you know.
So you're like our president. You had never heard of a Category 5. Even though we've had like 3 or 4 of them in the last 2 years.
And he's talked about them, but I had never heard of a carrier. I mean, this is something nobody had ever heard of.
No, I don't think anyone, you know what? And I think you have to give credit to Donald Trump, because before his presidency, there was never a Category 5 hurricane. He's even made the hurricanes greater.
Of course. He is our greatest president. But yes. it was the fact that you got a level 5 hurricane that was traveling at 1 mile an hour west. So it literally was just, I mean, I think it was sitting over Abaco Island, which is part of the Bahamas. It was sitting over it for over a day.
Yeah, hardly moving at all. I mean, you know, there were, and the crazy part was, is there were parts of the island that were fine because they were sitting in the eye of the hurricane, and then eventually, you know, the as it moved, got right. tore up. But it was crazy to see on the weather map how little it was moving.
It was so. If people want to help, I know that we live in a society, and I've complained about the GoFundMes. I've complained about the what are the other ones that I've complained about?
Primarily GoFundMe, I think. Oh, and the Facebook fundraisers too. You've come out against those.
Not true. I just sent $20 to someone.
I just noticed you donated, but you have come out against them previously.
How did you see that I donated?
Because it'll say Brian Perlis donated to a Facebook fundraiser.
Oh no!
Yep, yeah, it shows you. You can't do anything on Facebook without people knowing.
Are you serious?
I shit you not.
I didn't want.
Wasn't it like a dog rescue or something?
It was a rescue for elderly dogs. So
I am all up in your business.
It was some lady, or I assume, you know what? That's sexist, and I take that back. It was an individual. Odds are it was a lady. It was an individual that adopted and fostered elderly dogs from shelters so that they could mm-hmm. spend the last years of their life in comfort, as opposed to a cement dog run surrounded by a cage.
I'm actually familiar with the rescue.
So when I sat there and saw that a friend of mine was raising money for it, I sat there and said, you know what? Here is my hard-earned cash. I'm going to make a difference. Here's my $20 bill.
But back to the Bahamas.
Yes.
If you
want to help, I mean, you've got the American Red Cross, you've got the Salvation Army, Project Hope, AmeriCares, Habitat for Humanity, Team Rubicon. I mean, there are plenty of places online where you can donate money, and they're going to need it. And one of the reasons why they're going to need it is the fact that they are certainly not welcome in the United States.
That is true. There are people, they were on boats to the United States, and if they didn't have their papers, they were made to get off. Just screw you guys. We're just going to leave you at the next port that we come up on.
Because if there's anything going very well right now, I can say that it's probably the U.S. consulate in the Bahamas. I mean, I'm sure they're just generating visas left and right.
You know who rode out the hurricane in the Bahamas?
Who?
Sean Connery.
Get out of here.
He apparently has a castle on the island of New Providence. 89 years old. I didn't realize he was 89. So he and his wife, Micheline, rode out the storm. Other than heavy winds, torrential rain, and some fallen trees, apparently he made it out all right.
Did he spend the storm with Alex Trebek's wife?
He might have.
What about Alex Trebek's mother?
Ah, Trebek.
Shuck
That's
it.
What your mother said last night.
Ha, 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 ha.
And Brian, I know you were a little bit worried about this when Dorian hit South Carolina, but the house made famous in the movie The Notebook did survive the storm.
What house made famous by The Notebook?
The mansion on the historic Boone Hall Plantation, which served as Allie's parents' summer home, withstood the powerful storm, aside from some debris tossed around the property.
That's a shame. Did you ever see The Notebook?
I have not watched it all the way through. My wife keeps telling me I need to watch it all the way through. I just can't do it.
It is one of the cheesiest movies I have ever seen.
There is no question about it. If you haven't seen it, I will ruin it. Both of the main characters die at the end.
Yeah, but it's even worse than that. Can I truly ruin it for you?
I would love if you okay. would ruin it for people out there that haven't seen
so
it.
So the story is this. It's a woman who's got dementia living in an old age home. Her husband visits her in this nursing home and reads from her diary. The stories he reads is from a time that she was when they were getting together. So this is, you've got the old couple, James Garner and some and Barbara Bush.
Diane Wiest,
was
it?
I thought it was Barbara Bush.
It might have been Barbara
Bush. So it takes place in Gina Roland. God damn it, I wish I didn't know that. If you check, you'll check while I tell the story, and I think I'm right on it. So, so it starts off with James Garner sitting there telling the story. The nurse, the administrator of the nursing home, is just like, you know, you really shouldn't come here. It's really taxing on you. She's never going to remember you. I don't know why, you know, you keep coming here. He's like, she's my wife. I love her. And I'm going to keep coming here because one day she's going to remember me. So, you know, they show him starting to read from the notebook. And what is he, you know, and she thinks that this is just some like romantic story that he's telling her. And it's a story of a poor guy, wealthy girl. You know, she's engaged, gets together with this young boy because she's cheating on the wealthy guy. They fall in love. She dumps him because he doesn't have enough wealth. Then finally she, just when he's about to commit suicide, she shows up, says, oh my God, I loved you the whole time. They live happily ever after.
Until the dementia.
Then they go back to modern time. And they show James Garner and Diane Wiest. And
yeah, you were actually right in saying Gina Rowland.
Fuck, I wish I didn't know. That just shows you that I was married. Because then suddenly they show the Gina Rowland's just like, but I remember you're my husband and we lived such a happy life. And so he got her again. He made her, you know, her brain came to the surface again, despite the ravaging of a dementia. She suddenly remembers him and he goes towards her to give her an embrace. Suddenly the fog reemerges. She looks at him and goes, oh, who are you? And she throws this big fit. They have to sedate her. She's laying in bed. James Garner crawls into bed. You know, he sneaks in her bedroom, crawls into bed, holds her. She dies in the middle of the night, and so does he.
And scene.
One of the cheesiest fucking movies I've ever seen.
Well, and it's who wrote the book that it's based on? Nicholas
Sparks. Nicholas Sparks. I was married.
All right. Well, I think, notebook aside, I think if we can agree on something, no one suffered more during the hurricane than our president, Donald Trump.
Oh, did he have a brutal, brutal time defending his ignorance?
Well, you don't think that the hurricane was going to hit Alabama? I saw a map with a black line drawn on it that clearly showed it was headed towards Alabama.
And this is where Donald Trump loses me. And I genuinely believe that is that a different person, a different type of president in a similar moment would have handled it better and differently. And let me explain. Basically, what we're talking about is the National Weather Service, which is part of what government agency? Let's see if you know.
The NOAA.
Which is part of what government agency? Like what does it report up to?
Department of Homeland Security?
I don't know.
yeah,
so,
I have no idea either.
So the National Weather Service sends out these updates on Dorian as it is approaching, as it's heading west from the Bahamas, and it's saying which states are in danger. Now, during a briefing that Donald Trump gets, they said that the states of Florida, Georgia, South Carolina, you know, the Southeast states, they do mention that Alabama may be affected by this.
Possibly.
Now, 12 hours go by, and Donald Trump is participating in a news conference with meteorologists from the National Weather Service updating on the movement of Hurricane Dorian. Now, by the time this news conference has started, the projections for the path of the hurricane have changed. And Alabama is no longer in danger because the prediction now is that the storm is going to turn north and not head deeper west where Alabama would be affected. So apparently there's an update. Donald Trump, when discussing it during this news conference, does not include this new information and says that it's possible Florida, South Carolina, Georgia, even Alabama can be affected by this hurricane.
Now, if I can just jump in real quick.
Please.
I wasn't even 100% aware that Alabama was along the coastline. I thought Alabama was more central in the U.S., so I will call my own self out on that.
It was. I know that it's part of the Gulf down there because they have taken several direct hits from hurricanes.
And I've been to Alabama, and I clearly had no idea where in the country I was.
Did you bring your cousin down there? I think it's a requirement.
Possibly.
I think it's a requirement. Point is this. So by the time Trump finishes his news conference, the media, the left, the fake news, literally rip this man to shreds for including a state that is no longer in danger. And under other circumstances, during other administrations, there may be a chance that people in Alabama might be concerned when their president says this storm may go to Alabama.
It's coming at you. Be careful.
But I genuinely believe we live in a day and age where everybody knows that whatever he says, you have to take with a grain of salt. Whether you like him or not like him, you know that he says things that may not necessarily be 100% factual. The point is that the media says to him, you're a paraphrasing here, you're a fucking moron. Because when you said Alabama, there was no way Alabama was going to be affected by the storm. And this is where Donald Trump, as a president, as a human being, becomes crystallized. Because most people would sit there and have said, yeah, you know what? You're right. You know what? I misspoke at that moment. I was basing the comments I made on information that was previously given to me. I do understand that the forecast of the storm had been updated. Alabama was no longer in danger. You know, that's just something we should all be grateful. You know, the people of Alabama are not going to be affected, but now we need to focus on Florida and the Carolinas. That is what somebody who knew how to handle a situation well. With this
Someone
guy,
who's not insane would handle it that way.
This guy is literally incapable of admitting that he made a mistake. He is incapable of saying, you know what, I was wrong. So what he does is he doubles down. He then has the National Weather Service. This is where I got confused.
Okay.
Because when he made the announcement of Alabama and he was getting torn apart by the media, the local weather service puts out a report saying that under no circumstances is there any threat to Alabama. They are then contacted by Wilbur Ross, who is the head of the Department of Commerce, and told somebody better make that correction that Donald Trump is right, other people are going to get fired.
Right. And here, just so you, for your clarification, here is the flow of hierarchy. So you've got National Weather Service, which rolls up to the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, which is a part of the Department of Commerce. So that is why you ended up with the National Weather Service holding firm with their statement of saying Alabama was never in danger, but the NOAA tweeted out support for President Trump, probably due to the pressure from Wilbur Ross, head of a secretary of the Department of Commerce.
So to just bleed up and to make a long story short, our president then calls the media into the Oval Office. Now, keep in mind, this is already 24 hours after the story has occurred. Nobody cares about this anymore. We've moved on. Because now the storm is threatening North Carolina, which is really where we want to talk about. This guy drags out a map of the path of the storm showing where it was potentially headed when he was giving his news conference. And the cone of probability where the storm was going did not cover Alabama. So to ensure he was proven right or seen as being right, somebody took a black Sharpie and extended the cone of probability to cover the state of Alabama. And it was we'll put up a photo of this for anybody that hasn't seen it yet. I imagine most of our listeners have. But the fact that somebody took a black marker and just started drawing on a map to make him feel better, it is a sign of the lunacy we live in, where, you know, the emperor has no clothes. That, you know, it's a famous story. We are living in those times where we've got a guy who says whatever he wants and is surrounded by psychophants who feel compelled, knowingly that it's not true, to agree with him simply because that's a better thing to do.
And not only that, he ends up selling black pens on his campaign site after the whole Sharpiegate thing blows up.
Yes, absolutely.
So rather than be like, maybe I should be embarrassed by this, again, doubles down again on top of the doubling down and starts selling Sharpies on his website.
What this guy has shown, there literally is a level of genius to it. You've got to give the man credit.
Yeah, no question about it.
Never admit you're wrong.
What is interesting to me, though, is it is also a federal crime to alter a weather map in the way that was done in the Oval Office.
There's so many different federal crimes that are going on right now. They are being deemed minor. This guy's making people, he's making federal employees stay at his hotels. Now, he may not be the one making that call, but you've got Mike Pence in Ireland going 3 hours out of his way. Now, keep in mind, you can cross Ireland in about a 15-minute walking at a brisk pace. So somehow he goes 3 hours out of his way so he can stay at a Donald Trump resort with his entire entourage. So who knows how many hundreds of thousands of dollars of government money went into the Trump Organization pockets because of that. That's a federal crime as well.
It would be hilarious if that's what takes him down.
Nothing's going to take him down.
Just like Al Capone got taken down by income tax evasion, it'll be a weather map that takes Trump down.
I would love it. It would just be hilarious.
That's all I'm saying.
I would like something. I would like there to be something that we as a society, and when I say society and we, I mean people that are against him, are embarrassed of this presidency. I think that I would love for there to be something where we draw the line and say you've gone too far. Like, paying off porn stars to and the fact that she's a porn star has nothing to do with it. Paying women off that you slept with to hide the fact that you slept with them. Clinging to the Bible when you're unable to literally say one word about what your favorite Bible verse is. Hugging the flag while you are surrounding your administration with Russians and Ukraine. I mean, literally, the number of offenses this guy's bringing to the table is just frightening. And it's not going anywhere.
Can I share with you, this came out just before we started recording tonight. This is a new Trump approval rating by race via a new CNN poll. So we'll see. We'll throw it out to you, Brian. See if you can guess with white people, what percentage approve, what percentage disapprove of Donald Trump?
40% approve, 60% disapprove.
Split down the middle, 48%, 48%.
Really?
We would like to apologize on behalf of the white delegation. Black people, how many people, percentage approve, percentage disapprove?
I'm going to go 15% approve, 80% disapprove.
9% approve, 86% disapprove. Black women, 3% approval rating. And finally, let's bring it up with Hispanic, percentage approve, percentage disapprove. 29%, 67%.
Now, my question to you is this. How can we ensure that the people that voted in that poll go on election day in 2020 and vote?
That's going to be the key. We got a long ways to go before November 3rd, 2020. So polls like this don't really mean a whole hell of a lot.
Well, here's my next question to you. And I know that we haven't spoken about it lately, but what are your thoughts about the Democratic challengers?
I really like Elizabeth Warren. I really like Kamala Harris. Big fan of Pete Buttigieg.
You're just covering your base. You like everyone.
I don't like everybody. I am not a fan of Joe Biden. Bernie Sanders in some ways worries me. Who else is Beto? I think should drop out and focus on a Senate race in Texas. Cory Booker, I like, but I don't think it's his time. Who else is out there still? Who's going to be on the debate stage?
Gillibrand.
Gillibrand didn't make the debate.
That's why I said it.
And she's out.
What about Bill de Blasio?
Andrew Yang, I'm okay. De Blasio, I can't. I mean, I don't like De Blasio Buttigieg as a mayor.
I thought Buttigieg. No, you just said Gillibrand was out. I thought
Gillibrand's out. Buttigieg's in. Buttigieg's on the debate stage.
Buttigieg is definitely out.
I think you are incorrect.
No, he's definitely out. I mean, we all are aware of his sexuality. He is definitely out.
My mistake. You got to clarify at times.
Okay, just making sure.
Who else is on the debate stage?
It doesn't matter. I just wanted to see if I could get you on that in-out joke.
is that what you were looking
for? That's exactly what I was looking for. I wanted to see what your thoughts are because that we had those debates. Then there was a lot of talk as the Democratic field was narrowing down. And then for the past 2 weeks, it's been a little quiet.
I mean, we are just so far away from even the primaries at this point. I don't know.
I think it was a mistake. I thought it was a mistake to have the to have debates with 20 people this far away.
Yeah, having it started, down to 10 is much, much better. Let's see. Julian Castro. I mean, I'm okay with him. Amy Klobuchar. Andrew Yang. I'm okay with. So
where's the new age woman, Williamson? Is she still around?
She did not make the debate.
Good.
So we do not get to see her her brand of hilarity.
Good.
Also bad for Donald Trump this week. Apparently, we had invited the Taliban to Camp David.
What are you? I have a question. I don't because I think I'm going to take a opposing view on this. I think the optics are poor, but I think the intention was well placed.
I think the intention was well placed. I will agree with you on the optics. I feel having the Taliban try to get together so close to the anniversary of the 9/11 attacks is very insensitive.
Very.
Plus, is there
another place where they could have met? Why does it have to be Camp David?
Is there a location more sensitive security-wise than Camp David?
No, I don't think so.
No one knows where Camp David is.
It's in the hills of West Virginia.
But it's very, you know.
You can't get anywhere near it. You can't get anywhere near it. But like,
you know where the Pentagon is. You know where the White House is.
Well,
you know where
Flight 93. Flight 93 knew where the Pentagon was. Jesus. So did I just try and make a 9/11 joke? And
so
I
don't. Wrong.
I didn't even have the right flight number because 93 was the one that landed in Shanksburg.
So wrong. But agreed. Sometimes we need to open up diplomatic channels. But do we necessarily need to bring them into our country and bring them into one of the most secure places that we have? One of the most luxurious places that we have.
Oh, it's definitely not luxurious. It's not.
Are you kidding?
Oh, my
God. Camp David?
It's not luxurious.
Oh, it is. I guarantee you it is a frickin' resort.
If you're a Taliban and you're used to eating off the floor in a dirt cave, yes, it is luxurious. But it is not luxurious as in like staying at a Ritz-Carlton in Miami, Florida.
I'm not saying it's like a Ritz-Carlton, but I guarantee you it is like a resort in the Catskills or the Adirondacks or the Hamptons.
If we had gone to Doral, my resort down in Doral, they've got villas. Every country could have a little villa. It's nice and luxurious. No. I'm going to say that for government, it's not as luxurious as other offerings that we could have provided them. What I'm saying is the fact that to me, Camp David has a reputation of deals, agreements. It was a location where Egypt and Israel back in 1977 had their accord that brought mutual understanding between the countries. It was. You don't bring people to Camp David on the hope something may happen. Like you know before you show up that a deal is going to be made because you don't want to embarrass yourself.
There should be some groundwork that's been laid prior to bringing people to Camp David. So that whole thing blew up also.
It's kind of like this. You're taking a girl on a date. Do you take her out for the $200 steakhouse, not knowing you're going to seal the deal afterwards? Or do you take her to McDonald's and see what happens?
It's a valid point you make, my friend.
The Taliban get McDonald's.
All right. What else do we want to talk real about thing, this week?
But this is what I wanted to say. It's just the fact that I think he genuinely, and obviously I don't think Trump had shit to do with anything anymore, but I think the idea that trying to broker a peace in Afghanistan is important.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you look at who he's tackling, North Korea, the Taliban. He knows that if he is able to negotiate some type of peace with one of those people that other governments have stayed away from, then he can brag about it, especially coming up on an election. No question about it.
He's lost the ability to brag about North Korea.
At this point, yes.
He got them to the table, but you know, all of us talk about how they're not nuclear. They're sending out more and more aggressive missiles. You know, he's embarrassed himself on that. He can't brag. He has nothing to stand on. So I think it is important to engage the Taliban to try to work towards a goal, but I don't think that you invite them to Camp David the weekend before 9/11 without knowing that you've got an agreement locked up. That, to me, just shows poor diplomatic abilities within this administration.
Yes, I will go with you on that. Even more important than politics, you know what happened this past weekend, Brian?
No.
Go!
Football time, Brian. Come on. New NFL season right here.
Daddy.
I miss the old Hank Williams intro to Monday Night Football. Are you ready for some football, Brian? So we missed out on the first week making predictions. Are you ready to predict some of the upcoming games for this weekend?
Yes, I am. One of the things, well, first off.
You do not want the music in the background? Is that what
you're saying? I'm just not going to talk over it.
Well, you are very, very prissy sometimes. All right, fine. No music for you.
It's not the song that I remember Monday Night Football to.
All right. What is the song you remember Monday Night Football to?
Didn't Carrie Underwood have a song one year?
She did, I believe so.
It was exactly what I... That's the one I wanted to hear. That's the one I would talk over. That's the one that would make me want to pour myself a nice hot cup of chamomile tea and, you know, wrap myself in an afghan as I curled up with a good book on a Sunday at 1 o'clock to, you know, watch the boys throw the pig skin.
Is that so?
Yeah. All right. So first off, question. Last year, we were very big. You know, people that listened to us last year. How did Ron's football fantasy football team do this week?
This week, it was... I got a little carry on for you there.
No, this is this shit is my jam. You know, so, this makes me want to tuck my jeans inside of my boots, key up my boyfriend's car because he cheated on me.
So I will say a disappointing start to the season for me. Yahoo graded my draft at an A-. But unfortunately, I went up against the only person that had a better draft than I did, scored the third highest points in the league, but lost to the guy scoring the most points. So started off with an 0-1 start, but I feel good about my my chances for the season.
Let's test my knowledge of football this year. Name me some of your players. Now, did you make your picks yourself?
I did. I got online and I did all my picks myself. I feel like I've got a good team. I've got one of the best quarterbacks in the league from Kansas City Chiefs, Patrick Mahomes.
He's my homeboy.
Wide receiver core, I've got Odell Beckham Jr. From Cleveland. I've got Julian Edelman from New England, although now with the signing of Antonio Brown, a little bit worried how many looks he's going to get. Who else do we got here? Running back wise, I went Carson from Seattle, Connor from Pittsburgh, and Johnson from Houston. I've got the tight end from the Giants, Ingram. Huge game this past week. And then on the bench this week, I had Alshon Jeffries, Jared Goff, Greg Olsen. My kicker was the Green Bay guy who sucked. And I had the defense from Houston, which also sucked. So a little disappointing. But they go up against Jacksonville next week, who has no quarterback at this point.
In complete transparency, I recognized the first three names you gave me. And then after it, I had no idea who you were talking about afterwards.
So I'm heavily favored in my matchup this upcoming week. So I'm hoping to bounce back from this season opening loss.
All right. Who are your locks of the week?
So locks of the week this week. I mean, I got to be honest, I like the Houston Texans giving 8 points to the visiting Jacksonville Jaguars. Jaguars obviously hurt with quarterback Nick Foles out indefinitely with a broken clavicle. They had to draft another quarterback this week or sign another quarterback. So I think Houston giving 8 points is easily a lock of the week. That's one of my picks. What's your pick for lock of the week? We'll do two, right? We're doing two locks.
We're doing
this week.
Two. Absolutely. I'm going to say this. Arizona Cardinals came out to a very strong tie against whoever it was. They were playing the Detroit Lions. I watched quite a bit of that game. Arizona Cardinals, I think, are an underrated team, getting 13.5 points from the Baltimore Ravens, who played a game that was clearly out of their skill set. There was no reason for them to beat the Dolphins the way they did. I'm going Arizona getting 13.5 points.
I was going to say that I love the line for the Cardinals on that game. I mean, yes, the Ravens came out hot and heavy, but the Dolphins, the team, not so great. The fans, however, I don't know if everybody caught the article online, but the Miami Dolphins fans, while tailgating, set up a strip club in the parking lot. Put up some tenting, had dancers, had some dollar bills, making it rain. Listen, we in Philly know how to tailgate, and we respect a good tailgate. The Miami Dolphins fans took it to a whole nother level this weekend.
Speaking of Philadelphia fans, did you or did your fans not get into a fight with a 76ers player this weekend?
They did. The 76ers center apparently went to the game wearing a Redskins jersey. And listen, Eagles fans don't care.
They don't care.
Fuck you up.
Yes.
All right. So my second lock of the week, surprisingly enough, I'm not a huge fan, but I'm going with the Eagles on the road against the Falcons. Eagles are giving 1.5. I think they cover that spread relatively easily.
Well, I can't say I disagree with you on that one, but for me, there's one game that really just jumps off the board. That is the Miami Dolphins against the New England Patriots, 1 o'clock in Miami. You've got the Dolphins at home, were embarrassed last week. I think you're going to look at a team that's going to, you know, they're playing for pride on their home court, home opener. I think this is the week that they make a comeback. They're going against a team that really has not settled into any type of routine. They've just signed a wide receiver, after preseason, they're going to throw the ball to him a lot, but I don't believe that the Patriots, the routine they're in has just been mixed up in a blender. They're not going to know what to do. Laying 19 points, I think you're an idiot to go with New England. I'm taking the Dolphins with the points.
So you're taking the Dolphins. So yes. You're saying the Patriots, which beat the Steelers by 30.
Yes.
Can't beat Miami by more than 19.
I'm saying that that if you look at what took place in week one, you're looking at aberrations. Here, I think now the cream starts to rise and the crud starts to fall. Dolphins getting 19 points. Hell, I would take them on the money line.
All right. So we will check on our locks of the week next week, see how we do, and pick our additional locks of the week. As always, bet with your head, not over it. You like that? Mm. and call 1-800-GAMBLER if you have an issue. What else happened this week? Oh, we had the premiere of the new talk show by Anthony Jeselnik on Comedy Central. Good talk. His first guest, Nick Kroll.
Who I love.
Brian, love Nick Kroll. Love Big Mouth. Brian, thoughts on the initial episode of Good Talk with Anthony Jeselnik?
Good talk, bad show.
Really?
Literally wanted my 30 minutes back.
Interesting. Why is that?
Didn't think it was funny. Did not see any value in Anthony Jeselnik interviewing people that I've already seen interviewed. I did not think that the show brings anything to the table. You know, you've got one of the greatest comedy minds of our time, and I will say that. And it may just be that Anthony Jeselnik speaks to me more in a way of the way the Son of Sam's dog spoke to him. But there's something that I am absolutely in love with, and that are the thoughts that come out of Anthony Jeselnik's mind. To hear him waste it by asking, doing a standard interview show where he's asking his guests, you know, what made them get into comedy, where he's asking them about a new show they're working on. It felt like a slightly improved Jay Leno show.
Interesting. I felt the opposite way.
You're wrong.
I enjoyed the show tremendously. And again, maybe it's because I haven't seen Nick Kroll interviewed that often, but I thought it was an interesting interview. I always like Anthony's sarcasm. I like the agree-disagree portion that he did. So I will you give it a second episode? Let me ask you that. Will you watch one more episode and see if it gets any better?
This is how much of a fan of Anthony Jeselnik I am. I will watch every episode.
All right. Good to know. Now, you also, Brian, mentioned me this week that you wanted to do a very special lightning round, the Get to Know Ron lightning round. Talk to me about what drove you to want to do this.
It was something that came across recently. We were talking on the podcast. You said something to me. It was your Quizno story.
Oh, okay.
We have, you know, we didn't talk for a while. We were kind of separated. We were on our different paths. But over the past year and a half, I would say that I speak to you more than anybody else. And listening to your Quizno story, I learned so much about you.
It was an insight into the world of Ron, if you will.
I had no idea that story. And I've spoken to other people who have also said, holy cow, I had no idea. And I said, I didn't have an idea either, which made me wonder, what else about Ron do I not know? And what should I know? So I'm using the lightning round to ask to try and get a better idea of who Ron is.
All right. I agree to the lightning round. I will make one request that I get one pass. If I feel there's a question I don't necessarily want to address, I get one pass.
Oh, okay. I don't have a problem with you doing that. I don't think any of these are invasive.
All right. Well, let's get going with the Get to Know Ron lightning round.
I'm really surprised you wanted a pass, because I specifically did not put together any type of list that would make you uncomfortable.
You're kind of a wild card at times, so surprised. I always like to have a little something in my back pocket.
That's fine. All right, let's start.
Yes.
Ron?
Yes.
Are you ready?
I am as ready as I can be.
What was the last book you read?
What was the last book I read? It was Dr. Sleep by Stephen King.
Good one. Have you ever had a finger in your ass?
That I have not had.
What was the best job you ever had?
The best job I ever had. I mean, as ironic as it may seem, I'm going to go with Quiznos, because at least I was working for myself.
Interesting. Have you ever had a finger in your ass?
I will go a step further and let you know that I have never had anything in my ass.
Should college athletes be paid?
They should.
Have you ever had a finger in your ass?
I'm going to have to say no again on that one.
What is your toothpaste of choice?
I use Crest with Scope.
What is your favorite movie?
Favorite movie? I always tend to go back to Glengarry Glen Ross.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Isn't it?
I love that one. I may need to watch it. What was your first presidential vote?
My first presidential vote, and those of you who used to listen to the Ron and Brian show back in the college days, Bill Clinton was my first presidential vote.
What is your favorite childhood memory?
Oh, what is my favorite childhood memory? Hmm. That is a good question. I'm not 100%. Now, what do you qualify in age range for childhood?
13 and younger.
13 and younger.
So if it's the time that you went to the truck stop hooker and had her give you a handy when you were 11, that would count.
You know what? It's very tough to say a specific memory. I will say this. My parents divorced when I was 6, when my brother was 10. My mother, my brother, and I struggled tremendously coming up. We didn't have a lot, but we had a very solid family unit. So I will say, you know, the time I spent together with my family, you know, becoming the person that I am, I have a lot of good memories from that. I can't pick out anything specifically, but the bond that was formed between my mother and my brother and myself, probably the best thing that came out of my childhood.
Wow, I really respect it. That's a great answer.
Thank you.
That really is a great answer. Boxers or briefs?
Boxers, although I have recently changed and I try out some Tommy John boxer briefs, which are amazingly comfortable. Shout out to Tommy John.
Favorite meal to make? I know. Favorite? I know you're a big fan of the of your efforts in the kitchen.
Yes. Favorite meal to make? Probably either a steak or a chicken parmesan.
What retail store do you miss the most?
What retail store do I miss the most? I miss Caldor's, which a lot of people out there probably don't even know. But it was old school department store in the Capital District back in the day.
What websites do you visit daily?
What websites do I visit daily? Facebook, definitely. Twitter, Instagram, ronandbrianpodcast.com, and ixxx.com, your home for all things porn.
Is that really a website?
It is really a website.
I didn't know that was...
I'll forward that over to you afterwards.
Interesting. Desert Island Disc. Pick one CD, album, download, whatever. You have to listen to one album for the rest of your life.
One album for the rest of my life? Can it be a double album?
Of course.
I would go Eagles Live.
Okay. You're going on vacation. One place. Where do you go?
I would go, I mean, I've been there many times. I would go Vegas.
Do you use a hairbrush or a comb?
Neither. You know, my hair is kept short enough that I just put a little product in my hands, spike it up, and I'm good to go.
How do we find peace in the Middle East?
I don't know that you do in our generation.
What was your favorite memory of me?
Oh, my favorite memory of Brian would probably be the first time that we really got to know each other at that college party. Ended up talking each night and said to ourselves, we need to do something with this. We need to do a goddamn college talk radio show.
Well done. Thank you for playing, Ron.
Anytime. And that is the lightning round. We'll have to do a get to know Brian lightning round.
I feel like we got to know you a little bit better.
A little bit, just a little bit.
Goddamn, do I love boxer briefs. It provides you the support, but it doesn't make you feel weak in any way the way briefs do.
And I will say there are certain things that I don't like spending a lot of money on, and underwear used to be. Like, if you give me a nice five pack of boxers for $10, I'd be all over it. And then I dropped like $25 a pair on these Tommy Johns. Well worth the price.
Yeah, no, so. Good. There's nothing worse than putting, like, and I don't know about you, but I've got several different types of underwear where, like, I've bought a pack of Hanes and then I'll buy a pack of this and a pack of that, but I have my favorite. There is nothing worse than when you open up your drawer to take out a pair of underwear and the kind that you like isn't there.
I feel your pain. Because I've got Hanes, I've got Tommy John's, and I've got Nordstrom. And if I'm down to those Nordstrom boxers, it's a bad day.
Yeah, I've got a package of Hanes that I just fucking hate. And
see, I love my Hanes.
I don't. Not the ones. Oh, no, no. Right. Excuse me. I like the Hanes. I don't like Calvin Klein. I've got a pack of...
Oh, I hate Calvin Klein.
Oh, my God. They're such low risers. Like, they're...
Fuck like, you, Calvin Klein.
They're like half
underwear.
The way between my junk and my hips. And I need that area covered. You know, it's not a good look. Not a good look. But interesting. Thank you for playing, Ron. I would happily do this with you again.
All right, I'll have to think of some questions for you. So we're just over an hour here. Is there anything else you want to cover? Or should we wrap things up here and move on to the Patreon for the exclusive post-show content?
Listen, we've got a lot that we've saved up for the Patreon. I do want to discuss one last topic, and that is our celebrity obituaries.
Okay, who passed away this past week?
The big name, Ron, this week was Robert Mugabe.
Was that Will Ferrell's character in Zoolander?
No, it was the character that came out of Arnold Schwarzenegger's stomach during Total Recall.
Oh, okay, makes more sense.
Mugabe, who once cried, "Zimbabwe is mine." The only leader that country knew since its independence in 1980 until 2017, ruled it for 37 years, presided over its long decline. Unfortunately, over four decades, Zimbabwe's notorious strongman passed away in the Singapores where he was receiving medical care at the age of 95. Robert Mugabe, literally, minus the terrorism, he was a terrible dictator. Passed away. The people of Zimbabwe are free. Free Zimbabwe.
Are they really free? Because it seems like his longtime aide is actually running the country now.
Well, I just wanted to... It felt good to say free Zimbabwe.
All right. And country singer Kylie Rae Harris dies in a car crash
this one
at
hurt.
The age of 30.
This one hurt badly. And I'll tell you what...
A three-car crash in New Mexico, apparently.
This one hurt. First of all, you know, her big song 20 Years From Now, which we've all listened to on a Saturday night while we were driving up and down the interstate. You know, she was, you know, a star that was on the cusp of stardom. And, you know, to be just ripped away from us at such a young age, having so much potential. The only downside to this story that I would like to say is that she caused the car crash that she died in.
Hmm. That is sad.
So you can't really feel too bad because she was probably on her phone taking selfies for the gram.
And let's also mention singer Haley Smith, a contestant on season 11 of American Idol, died following a motorcycle crash at the age of just 26.
God damn, that's a
shame. One vehicle accident. Investigation is still pending.
Poor thing. That's all I got for you.
Well, and poor you, if you haven't subscribed yet to the Patreon, go to patreon.com/ the Ron and Brian podcast. You'll be able to hear exclusive content like the post-show episode that we're about to record once we get out of here.
We've got,
but in the meantime,
we've got Brexit to talk about.
We got Brexit.
We've got period apps to talk about. We've got the
so
new
many
iPhone to
apps.
Talk about. We may have another hour of material to do.
We've got prostitutes with ridiculous amounts of human feces and urine in their house. Pastors' wives shooting each other in parking lots. We got a ton of stuff we're going to cover. Again, if you're on the Patreon, you will get to hear it. If not, you're missing out. But if you are missing out, you know, at least check out Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. Vote in This Week in Racism. Give us some suggestions for Drink of the Week. Brian, do you have anything else for this free episode before we move on to the high and mighty?
I love you, the listener. I love you, America. And Ron, I love you the most.
Oh, I love you, my friend. And we're out of here. Patreon, you'll be able to check us out in a minute.